Your Bibles to John 14. John, the 14th chapter. John 14. While you're finding that, I came across a story of a man named Phil. And he was driving down a country road late one night, and he heard a thud. So he stopped the car, and he got out of the car, and he looked around. The road was empty. There was nothing else he could do, so he just got back in his car and he went home. Well, the next morning he woke up to the beating on his door of a sheriff. He answered the door and sheriff said, "You're under arrest for hitting a pig and leaving the scene of the accident." And the fellow, he said, "Come with me." And this guy, Phil, he just couldn't believe his ears. He said, "Well, how could you possibly know that's what happened?" And the sheriff said, "Well, the pig squealed." Amen. Fella said, "I've really had it with my dog." Guy said, "What's the matter with your dog?" He said, "Well, he'll just chase anyone on a bike." He said, "What are you going to do? Leave him at the pound or sell him?" He said, "No, I'm not going to do anything that drastic. I'm just going to take away his bike." Oh. John 14. I'm going to read the first 15 verses, and I want you to read along with me in John 14. This is another one of my favorite chapters. What a tremendous, tremendous chapter this is. And let's look at these first 15 verses. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Let's pray. Father, we have gathered this morning, and we've come together for a purpose, and that is to worship you and to hear from your word. We thank you for this blessed book, your revelation of yourself to us, the truth, the truth that's inerrant and infallible, the truth that never changes. And we thank you. As we look to your word and see these truths today, we ask you now to help us to be a people of truth and to follow in truth. There are principles and precepts we need to put into our heart and our life. Show them to us this morning. I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I want to be the messenger boy. I want to be the tool used in your hands to accomplish what you have for us here this morning. We again pray for those who are here without Christ, or we're always burdened to see unsaved people come to Christ and know the joys of being saved and born again. And for every believer, Lord, help it not just to be Sunday morning in church. Help it to be a time when we know that you've spoken to us and you've dealt with our hearts individually. Then we can go out of here and each one of us be able to say, I heard from God today. Meet that need. It's a spiritual work that has to be done in spiritual power. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse for today is going to be verse 15 in John chapter 14. And Jesus says this, If ye love me, keep my commandments. We have before us a chapter of God's holy word that is filled with precious promises and certainties. But as we read it, we find it's also studded with many ifs. Jesus is found here speaking primarily throughout this whole chapter, with few exceptions. And in this chapter, he uses that word if seven times. Seven times. And as we read these ifs, we find that each one, for every one of these ifs, there's something connected that follows it. Maybe it's connected as following out of it or appearing, but somehow it's connected to it, involved in it. Let me illustrate in verse 2. Jesus says he goes to prepare a place for us. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. If it wasn't that way, I would have told you. In verse 3, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. In verse 7, if ye had known me, you should know my Father also. Do you see the pattern? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And now we come to verse 15. That's our text verse. If ye love me, keep my commandments. As the pattern is in previous verses, something comes as a result of that aforementioned if. Repeatedly, Jesus said, if something is true, if something is fact, if something is done, there's going to be a result of that. And here he states very clearly in this verse, if ye love me, here's the condition that's needed, true love to him, then the result will be to keep his commandments. We often read this in two ways. One, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Or if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, sadly, in the day we live in, many will say they love Jesus. I got tickled one day. I saw something that said, it was on one of those bumper sticker things. Don't honk if you love Jesus. Tithe. Anybody can honk. I like that. But we see bumper stickers and, you know, things all around. I love Jesus. You know, I heart Jesus and all this. So there are many who say they love Jesus. And amazingly, oftentimes these will be churchgoers. Maybe Bible readers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, on and on we could go. I love Jesus. But if the truth be known, their love for Jesus is only really a surface affection. A good warm feeling towards him. See, this becomes evident in their walk with him. As we read this verse, Jesus states very clearly here that if a person truly loves him as they ought to love him, it's going to be evidenced by their keeping his commandments, by obeying his words. Such love will be more than just words, more than just saying, I love Jesus, But that kind of love is going to be manifested in obedience to the Word of God. Those who do truly love Christ will too be found living out the Christian life. If you love me, you're going to live the Christian life. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Now, there is today a very serious and a very pertinent question each of us has to ask ourselves. And that is this question. Do I really love Jesus Christ? Do I really love Jesus Christ? Is my love for Him more than a warm affection, more than just words? Is my love for Jesus Christ evidenced by my obedience to Him? Today, each of us must see our obedience to Christ as proof or evidence, if you will, of our love for Christ. And I want to share with you some ways we do that. We need to see our obedience to Christ as proof or evidence of our love for Christ by seeing obedience as a heart issue. Seeing obedience as a heart issue. Jesus said, if you love me, He's going in that verse right to the very root of the issue. Love is a matter of the heart. See, the fact is this, what we do and don't do will be dictated by our heart. You got that? What we do, what we don't do is dictated by our heart. Luke, Jesus brings this out in Luke 6:45. He says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Our heart dictates. Proverbs 4:23. Solomon knew the importance of our heart and how it dictates. He said this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you know, when Jesus says this in verse 15 of John 14, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Notice He gives the proper order. Love comes before obedience. Love comes before the keeping of commandments. Jesus is saying love is more important, if you will. It is the first priority. And see, the reason for that is He knows that if the love is there, the obedience will follow. Love is mentioned first because it is first in importance. Having a heart of love for Christ must come before any true obedience can come to Him. Jesus is saying here, our love for Christ must be our motivation for our obedience to Him. One man said this, obedience must have love for its mother, its nurse, and its food. Obedience comes as a result of love. The essence of obedience lies in the hearty love that prompts the deed rather than in the deed itself. Listen to what Jesus is saying, will you please? Jesus isn't seen here as just demanding obedience from His followers. He doesn't just say, obey me. He says, if you love me, He gives them first, the all important of why we should be obedient to Him. It's out of love. I was thinking about this. Charlie, where did Charlie disappear to? He gets lost in the crowd, Charlie does. Charlie was in the military. Brother Stan was in the military. Some of you others have been in the military. When you're in the military, you receive a lot of commands. How many times did your commanding officer say, Charlie, if you love me, I want you... Brother Stan, did your DI ever say that to you? If you love me. But did he ever give you commands? Oh, yeah. But see, those commands weren't based on love. Based simply on obedience. But see, Jesus is bringing a different level in here. He's making something very clear. Yes, he wants you to be obedient, but first and foremost, he wants you to love him. Because he knows if you love him, you're going to obey him. Love is the issue here. Love for him. Our willing obedience reveals our love and our care for him. When we love him, we want to please him. When we love him like we really ought to, we want to avoid grieving him. Jesus don't really want us obeying out of fear and peer pressure or whatever. He wants our obedience to be based on my love for him. Someone said, only as we love our Lord can our obedience be true and acceptable. Personal affection will produce personal obedience. Now, when Jesus said this, it's interesting. He negates religious works without love for him. You know, to love him, one must first of all know him personally. There's a lot of people who do not know him personally, and if you ask them, they'll say they love him. They cannot love him as they ought to love him without knowing him personally. And to know him personally, we have to get saved, we have to get born again, we have to get regenerated. Whatever phrase you want to use for it. We've got to come to that place where we admit we're low down, dirty, rotten sinners who need a Savior. And we need to come to that place where we understand we can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We need him. And we're willing to cry out to him and accept him and believe on him and know that he's the Savior and he will save us if we'll come to him and invite him into our heart and into our life. When you've done that, then you have Jesus Christ in your life and a part of your life. Then you have the ability to love him as you ought to love him. Now, I've noticed this. There are many people, you listening? Who could testify they're obeying Christ, but they really don't love him. They're doing it out of duty or whatever you want to call it, out of duress or, but it's not a love for him that makes them obey him. We need to know him personally. And people need to understand you cannot hope to do that which Christ can smile upon until your heart is renewed. Religious works done by unsaved people are not going to earn them any kind of favor with Christ, though they're trying to earn favor. The priority with Jesus is first that we love him with our whole heart. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, he's the one that said this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is what he says. This is what must come first. And it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling for Jesus. It's a loving him with our whole heart. When one loves Jesus as he should love Jesus, then we've said wholehearted obedience is sure to follow. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, the great flywheel which moves the whole machinery of life is fixed in the heart. Hence, this is the most important of all commands. When he said that about the great flywheel driving everything, and it's the heart. I couldn't help but think about my days in the factory. I worked as a mechanic. I set up and operated punch presses. And what I made was, for you ladies, in one area where I worked, I made those ends that are on vegetable cans and fruit cans and those kind of things. I actually made those out of steel. On the other area where I worked, I made pop-top cans. When you get your Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola and you pop that thing, I used to make them. On this one press that I had, it had 12 dies. We called it a multi-die press. 12 dies. It would punch out 12 cannons this big at one time. Six on the top, six on the bottom. One hit on this sheet of metal, and it would chop out six of these out of steel that you have on the end of your can. Multi-die press. I said all that because I want you to understand this. It was a big old machine. It was as high as that light right there, that machine. Maybe a little higher. And on this side of it, there was a big flywheel. And that flywheel had to be five feet diameter. That big. 5 feet. And that flywheel had about six belts on it coming from the motor. When I wanted that press to run, I would hit that button, and that thing would start, that motor would start, and those belts would start turning, and the machine would be in neutral, and it would get that flywheel turning. I mean, that baby would start turning. And then when I was ready to start making them little round ends, I'd push the button, it would engage the clutch. And now all that power from that flywheel would be carried over to the crankshaft on that big old press, and it would start running. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. But see, that flywheel drove everything. When I went out there, if I didn't start that flywheel up, nothing was going to happen in that press. That flywheel determined everything that was going to happen. And what I want you to understand is our heart is a flywheel of everything that's going to happen. And we bring it over to this love for Christ. And if we don't have that love for Christ, we're not going to have the obedience we need to have for Christ, because there's no energy there. There's no moving there. One fellow said, though you wear your fingers to the bone with service, weep your eyes out with repentance, make your knees hard with kneeling, and dry your throat with shouting, yet if your heart does not beat with your love, your religion falls to the ground like a withered leaf of autumn. Love is the chiefest jewel in the bracelet of obedience. See, Jesus begins here with a heart. Because there is no hope of true obedience to Him unless our hearts are filled with love for Him. So we need to see, number one, obedience as a heart issue. Am I obeying Christ today? If I'm not, why aren't I obeying Christ today? It's a heart issue. It's not I don't agree. It's not I don't believe. It's a heart issue. It's a lack of love issue, and that's number two. We need to see obedience as a revealing issue. He says, if you love me, that's the heart. He says, keep my commandments. That's the revealing issue. See, obedience to Christ reveals one's true love for Christ. Or lack of it. By this, by our obedience to Him, we demonstrate outwardly what we feel inwardly. We feel love. We demonstrate that. We feel a desire to please. We demonstrate our love through that. We have a willingness to give. We're demonstrating that I care about Jesus and I want to give to Him and do His work, and willingness to sacrifice for Him, that again stems from the love in our heart. All these things reveal, yes, there's a love inside of me for Christ. When I put His will ahead of mine, it's demonstrating I love Him. I don't just do that because He says, I ought to do that. Such things are the fruit, if you will. You go by an apple tree and you see the apples on the tree, and it's produced by the sap and everything that's inside. It's the evidence that there's life in that tree and there's something going on inside that tree. And our obedience to Christ is evidence there's something going on inside of here. By the way, that obedience to Christ, you ready for this? Measures our level of love for Him. See, you've been sitting here and you've been saying, well, I love Jesus. I really do. Okay, let's talk about how much do you love Jesus? The level of your love. You see, that's demonstrated by your obedience. The more we love Him, the more yielded we're going to be to Him. Is anybody here today? That was a very real principle that probably every one of us should have said, amen, that's right. The more we love Him, the more yielded we're going to be to Him. Which brings the next point, refusal to obey Him shows a lack of love for Him. The more one refuses to obey the Lord is indicative of his or her lack in that area of love. You see, many believers today are living carnal lives. They're saved people who are living according to the flesh. That's what carnal indicates. Why? Because they love the things of this world more than they love Jesus. Understand, I didn't say they don't love Jesus. I'm saying that they love other things more than they love Jesus. We're talking about the level of your love. And Jesus wants Him to be the number one of our life. These are folks who refuse to give up worldly ways and pleasures and priorities and styles and all we could go through that are of the world. That's why John says, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, you're judging, preacher. No, listen. It's Jesus who dictates the measure of our love for Him. Our obedience to Him. It's Jesus who made that the rule. I'm just reading it. He's the one that said, if you really, really, really love me, you're going to obey my commandments. That's out of His mouth, not mine. Now, I understand we're not under the law. We're not under that Old Testament law that Moses and all were under. We're in the age of grace. I understand that. But yet we're under the law of Christ. Amen. You see, there are so many believers today who want to justify disobedience by, well, I have liberty. Well, friend, if you're saying that, you don't understand the liberty of the Bible. See, we are never given liberty to disobey the Lord. You listen to me? Never are we given liberty to disobey God. The liberty we have is to obey Him, to live in obedience to Him. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said something, and of course he was a preacher of yesteryear back in the late 1800s and all. But here's what he said, way back then. Let us never enter into the council of those who do not believe that there are any commandments for believers to keep. It is not written, if you love me, do whatever you please. Jesus does not say, so long as you love me in your hearts, I care nothing about your lives. There is no such doctrine as that between the covers of this holy book. He that loves Christ is the freest man out of heaven, but he is also the most under bonds. He is free for Christ, has loosed his bonds, but he is put under the bonds of Christ by greater love. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Listen, Jesus demands no great undertaking for us to prove our love. You know, sometimes we read and hear about, you know, the girl says, well, if you really love me, you'd buy me a big old diamond. Or maybe the poor guy, you know, he's working to keep hand to mouth and he wants to get engaged, so he goes down and he buys what diamond he can afford, and it's not a very big one. And he gives it to her, and she blows up. Is that all you love me? Hmm? You know, Jesus didn't say, well, if you really, really love me, here's some great thing you got to do for me. You got to win 10,000 people to Christ, or you got to yourself build a church building. He didn't give us any of that kind of thing to do to prove our love. No extraordinary acts or extravagance. He simply requires obedience to his commands. In 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But it don't stop there, and I love this. It says, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, if you really love somebody, the commandments aren't going to be grievous. You know, it's kind of like husbands and wives. Listen, if you really love your wife, and she says, honey, I want this or I want that, it's not going to be grievous to you to get it for her. Because you love her. And wives, the same way. If your husband says, honey, I want T-bone steak for supper. No matter what you got to do or how you got to sacrifice or whatever, it's not going to be grievous for you to prepare that T-bone steak for him. It's going to be a joy. Why? Because you love him. And that's what God wants us to understand, and Jesus wants us to understand about obedience to him. I am sick to death of Christians walking around and just acting like, oh, I got to obey God. Where's the love in that? When I preach, God says, hey, we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. We ought to dress right and act right and talk right and do right and look at the right things and read the right things and separate from all the wrong things. And when I preach all that and say this is what God says, he says, oh, that's all he ever does. Tells us we can't do this, we can't do that. We ought to have a heart of love that says, hey, I love him so much, I want to do what he says. And I don't want to do anything he says I shouldn't do. And it's not because the preacher stands up there and stomps and snorts and or that people think me unspiritual or whatever. It's because I love him. Sick to death of people saying, oh, over there at that First Baptist, they have rules. If that's true, where are they? Where's the list? Huh? I'm sick and tired of people calling me a legalist. Because I'm preaching what Jesus said. See, I'm not afraid to stand up and say, this is what the Lord said. If you're Mr. Big Tither and you don't like it, well, there's the door. Hey, that's a bad attitude. No, that's where it is, because I can't change what Jesus said. I'm going to preach the truth to you. And I'm going to tell you how he said it. See, too many folks are coming to church today want me to tickle their ears. Paul talks about that over there in Timothy. Having itching ears. You want to come and hear some great thing, some positive thing. Hey, I'm all for positive preaching, but we can't live on just positive preaching. The Bible isn't just all positive. And we need the exhortation, we need the rebuke and reproof that Paul talks about. We need to recognize the reason for our failures to obey his command. It all comes back to this issue. My love or lack of love for him. Finally, each one of us must see our obedience to Christ as proof of our love for Christ by seeing obedience as a practical issue. Jesus desires and expects his followers to obey his commandments. Now, to do so, number one, we have to learn them. You have to learn what are his commandments. Where are you going to learn them? In the Bible. I said we don't have a list. But God has sure put them into his word for us. We have to study the scriptures to learn what's expected of us now that we're saved. Does your Bible say that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Does Paul say in his word to desire the sincere milk of the word? Peter says we're to grow thereby. See, there's a growth process in our Christian life. And in order for us to obey the commands and find out how are we supposed to live, I'm a new creature. What do I do now? Get in a book. God's laid it out for you. His commands. Study the Bible. Be faithful in prayer. Forsake your sin. Take the gospel message to the lost. Find your place of service. Pay your tithes. Separate from the world. Dress right. Talk right. Act right. Look like a Christian. That's all found in here. In the pages of this book, this is His commands. But not only do we need to know them, we need to stay true to them. Be always true to your convictions of what Christ's commands really are. See, one of the problems we have today is a lot of people are changing their convictions. Number one, a conviction is something you're willing to die for. I don't know how you change a conviction. Number two, when these people say they're changing their convictions, they're really changing their preferences. But we need to learn what Jesus says is true. We need to learn what He says is obedience. We need to learn of Him, to follow Him. And then we need to stand there firmly and fastly. See, the devil is going to try to steal away your heart and get you not to obey Christ. That's his game. He don't want you obeying the Lord. The world is going to mock and ridicule you if you really, really have a heart for Jesus and try to live for Him. You're going to be, you know, Joe Holy. You're going to be the deacon. You're going to be, the fanatic. You're going to be the Bible thumper. You're going to be all of that. But that's okay. Because He said that's what we're going to face when we really love Him and seek to obey Him. We cannot let those things sway us. We cannot let those things back us down, if you will. Your friends and your family may well abandon you. Some of you have suffered that. You got saved and you made up your mind, I want to live for the Lord. I want to follow Christ. I want to be obedient to Him. And all of a sudden your family has kind of distanced themselves, you know. You've gone off the deep end. You become one of them. Standing firm may cost you something. I mentioned in Sunday school, I know a fellow in the ministry took a firm stand on something, it cost him his job. Got fired. Yeah. Standing for what's right. Others are going to seek to cause us to compromise. To quit being obedient to the Lord. And here's something very tragic. Oftentimes it's so-called brethren who try to get us to compromise. Oh, you don't need to live that way. Again, oh, that's legalism. Oh, no, that's for Old Testament. Ah, you don't need to live that way. What does Jesus say? Far too many Christians are bending and compromising, abandoning their convictions today. And then thirdly, if we're really going to demonstrate our love through our obedience, we need to confess and forsake known disobedience. We need to refuse to continue in disobedience. Listen, if right now God's laying on your heart an area of your life where you've been disobedient, you need to repent of that, you need to turn from that, and you need to change that. See, that's an indication of your love for Christ. When He puts His finger on something in your life that's wrong, are you willing to change it? Do you love Him enough to put what He wants ahead of what you want? That's where the rubber meets the road. It's interesting how He worded it here. He said, if ye love me. There's the condition. If you love me, then you're going to keep my commandments. That's Jesus talking. Keep my commandments. That's the result of true love for Him. Today, does your Christian walk, your obedience to Christ's commands demonstrate your love for Him? Maybe it demonstrates a lack of love for Him. Maybe you love Him, but not like you ought to. The question this morning is this: are you willing to change it? Do you really want to change it? Do you really want to love Him like you're supposed to love Him? If you will, it's going to result in your obedience to Him. It won't have to be the preacher that says, hey, this is what we ought to do. It won't have to be somebody trying to buttonhole you or whatever into do it. No, it's going to be from your heart. I'm going to do this because I love Him. I'm going to quit doing that because I love Him. And you know what I found out? If you'll let that be the rule of your life, you're not going to be swayed. You're not going to be a up and down. You're not going to be a back and forth Christian. See, when that's the rule of your life, you're going to be consistent. See, it's always going to be, what's He say? What's He say? What's He say? I'm going to do what He says. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If ye love me, if ye love me, He said. Hey, remember who He's talking to. He's talking to His disciples. Those 12 who followed Him. If ye love me. Listen, He's talking to church-going folks here this morning. Hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to talk to saved folks here for a minute. Folks who know there's been a time in their life where they've accepted Christ. They're on their way to heaven. They've been born again. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you that are in that situation could honestly say today, preacher, I really, 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 really do love Jesus. And His love has caused me to obey Him. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I love Him and I obey Him because I love Him. Here's my hand. Put it down. Many raised their hand, many couldn't. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I love Jesus. But boy, when you talked about maybe loving other things more, maybe not loving Him with my whole heart, I realized that I've been disobedient to Him in some areas, and it's revealing I don't love Him like I should. I know there are things in my life that are displeasing to Him. He's put His finger on them. And yet, I've refused to forsake. There are areas in my life where I've not been doing what I ought to have been doing. He's put His finger on them. And yet, I've refused to buckle. And this morning, God's dealing with my heart. I want to love Him like I'm supposed to love Him. And I want to obey Him out of my love for Him. I need to change some things in my life. Here's my hand, preacher. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. Hands are going up all over this room. I need to change some things. God put His finger on it today, and I'm just yielding to God. He knows my heart. Holy Spirit's dealing with me. Here's my hand. God spoke to you about some things, maybe today, maybe in the past. And you have hardened your heart against Him. And today is the day of surrender. I'm going to obey Him because I really, really, really do love Him. And I know that's a result. My obedience is a result My obedience demonstrates my love. I'm going to obey Him. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. God bless you. I wonder if there's some folks in this room who say, Preacher, I can't obey Him because I don't know Him. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm concerned and I want to know. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Anyone at all in this room? Let's stand together. 485. 489. I surrender all. You know the invitation. You're invited to come. God's dealing with your heart. Come do business with Him. You're not saved. You come and I'll meet you down here and shake your hand. That'll let me put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take you to a quiet place and show you how to be saved. Father, bless the invitation. I pray that as a people we would have that desire to love You like we should. And that our love would result in our obedience to You. That we would just want to get in Your book and find out what You're saying and line our lives up according to Your will. Not because we have to, because we love You. I believe You're dealing with some folks in this room today, and I pray that they'd be willing to come and submit and surrender. Yield to You like You want us to. And if there's one here without Christ, bring them today that we can show them the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come this morning? God speak into your heart. Will you come? We're going to sing. 489 in your songbook, I surrender all. Will you come today? Will you come right now? Just step out. Step out right now. God speak into your heart. God put His finger on your heart. Come right now. Come right now. You raise your hand. Yeah, God spoke to me. God dealt with me. Come and deal with Him. Right now. Right now. Holy Spirit speaking to you. Don't put it off. Don't hang on to that pew. Up here and find a place in His altar and cry out to Him. Find His grace and His mercy. Will you come? Will you come? Folks have come and folks are praying. Others need to come. Will you come? Are you saved? If you don't know that you're on your way to heaven when you die, if you don't know your sins have been forgiven, don't leave that way today. Come right now. We'll show you how you can be saved. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. And I believe there's still folks who need to come. I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit of God is just working on people here today. I know you don't really have to come to the altar to make a decision. I understand that. But I think it helps you when you do. And I would encourage you to do so. But most of all, I would encourage you today, if God's dealing with your heart, surrender, yield, do what He's telling you to do. Let God have His way in your heart and in your life. You will never regret it. Come this morning. Unsaved friend of mine, come this morning and come to Christ. Let's sing that last verse of the invitation hymn. Will you come today? Will you come? It's a heart issue. If you love me, it's a revealing issue. If you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's a practical issue. Here's how we do this. Here's how we obey. Will you come? All right, I want you to come back tonight. We're going to kick off our study on 1 Timothy, working our way through that book. Tremendous, tremendous epistle. And you'll be out in time for the second half. And the game's not over till the second half anyway. So come and be in church. And I'm going to ask Brother Brian Walsh to close our service with prayer.